this idea of self-worth as the feeling that you are a good person who deserves to be treated well and with respect. So originally when I was thinking on what I wanted to talk about today, self-worth wasn't actually on my list of this is what I could talk about. And originally I was thinking along the lines of God's love or what is my purpose in life. But as I kind of started to actually think more about what I wanted to say, and I wrote down all the things I'd thought about over the years and kind of collected my thoughts and gathered them and wrote them down, the kind of current theme running through them wasn't actually God's love. Rather, it was this idea of value and self-worth. And I think, and instead, it was kind of linked to God's love, but it was more the fact that due to God's kind of plentiful and bountiful love, we have this self-worth and value. So I began to think and kind of like delve more into thinking, what is this idea of self-worth and value and how does that connect and interlink with God's love? And I kind of came up with this triangle and I kind of constructed this triangle based on the verse. Hannah Shea.
In Mark 12:30, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbour as yourself.
So based on that verse, I kind of came up with this triangle, which was, which kind of linked God's love with this idea of self-worth and self-esteem. And I kind of created this triangle around the idea that once you start to understand that God loves you, only then can you start to realize and really, really start to properly love yourself. And then, only then, can you go on and start to preach this love to your neighbour and show that love which Jesus said we should show to everyone else fully once we understand how much he loves us. And I kind of, I kind of came up with that triangle and I kind of felt like somehow, without realising, like I said, I hadn't originally thought I was going to do this. Throughout my experiences and how I've grown up and kind of everything I've had to deal with, God had kind of been like leading me to this idea of self-worth and value. And I feel like it would be wrong for me to say that every day I wake up feeling like, wow, oh, today's going to be a great day. You look so good today, Anya. You're going to go out and rock the world today. Rather than the fact that actually, most days I feel like instead of feeling like a 10, I probably feel like a 5 or a 4 sometimes. And I think, especially in recent years, I struggled with this idea of value and this idea of feeling kind of worthless and like I didn't actually have a price, or I wasn't the opposite of prices. Can't think of what that is. And I think as a teenager, this is something which kind of maybe every teenager goes through to an extent, but also something which kind of this idea of feeling worthless obviously transcends all ages and it's actually a feeling what everyone feels like, but it seems to come into more kind of vivid view when you kind of go into those later teenage years. Probably because secondary school is this kind of never-ending cycle of burdens of worrying, am I liked enough? Am I pretty enough? Will I be invited to that next party? Will I ever, I don't know, get a boyfriend? Or just kind of feeling like you don't really know what your point is and like, why am I here? Is there actually any purpose or meaning to me being on this planet right now? And I think for me, I only started to properly think about that and feel like that probably year 10, year 11, when I suddenly was like, wow, what actually am I here for? And do I actually have any value? So yeah, like I said, last year and probably most of this year has been my kind of biggest battle with this idea of feeling worthless and like I have no value. And I think for the most of last year and most of this year, I kind of felt like I was a second choice. And like people I would consider to be my friends would rather talk to other people than talk to me. And that kind of like dealing with best friends rather spend time with other people than me. And I feel like I felt like I was only ever noticed and I only ever meant something if my struggles were put on display for everyone else to see and critique. And like people would only ever really start to care about me if they thought I was upset. And I kind of, like I said, I'd wake up every morning and be like, oh, I feel really ugly today, or let's avoid that mirror so I don't have to see myself, or just feeling like I'm boring, I'm not interesting, and I don't have anything worth to show to someone else. I'm just kind of this person who has no purpose and no meaning. And I kind of became this muted version of myself, and I was kind of just like kind of a shell of my former self and this shadow of who I used to be. And I remember talking to this lady the year 10 summer, so that's last year, how I felt like I'd become this deflated version of myself. And that I remember saying to her how I could kind of see and hear and feel and experience the wind and the sun on my back, but like I felt like I was separate, this separate passenger, and I was kind of, this was my soul and this was my body, and my soul was just kind of watching everything take place and all these events which were spiraling out of control in my life and couldn't stop it. And like, I had no control over how I was feeling, what I was thinking. I just watched my life happen, and I felt like nothing, I was doing nothing that would ever really make an impact on other people. And like I remember saying how I felt like when I laugh, which I laughed, I used to laugh a lot, it wasn't really my laugh. It was kind of this like shallow, hollow laugh, which was just an echo of what I used to be. And I really did feel like there was no colour in the world. Like, I really did feel like that. And I would kind of be like, oh, wow, the sunset's really pretty today. Oh, but is it actually? I was like, what is the point of that sunset? Like, what is it doing? I just felt like I was questioning everything. And I remember telling my mum, she might not remember, but I remember telling her how I knew that God loved me. Like, I knew that. But that wasn't enough motivation for me to love myself. And it didn't matter that he loved me, because at the end of the day, I didn't love myself, so it didn't make a difference. And I think, like I said, so that was last summer when that worthlessness was kind of at its peak. And I feel like I said, social situations became really hard for me, even though before, like, I would dread the idea of going to a party, when before I would look forward like months in advance for it. And I feel like I remember a party, this was now in March, this March, 2019. I was like, oh, I'm doing homework rather than go to my best friend's, one of my closest friend's party. And I was kind of like, no, I don't really want to go. And I ended up going like 3 hours late because I was like, oh, I'd just rather be at home in like this kind of comfort zone than have to go talk to people and know that when I'm talking to them, I'm not being myself. And I would hardly speak, even though I was in a group of like my best friends. I wouldn't even really... I wasn't really talking. I would kind of let people walk all over me because like, I just don't really want an argument. I don't really want people to notice me, compared to before when I was kind of this bubbly, excitable person. But obviously it wasn't just me. So like I said, teenagers, it feels like it comes into this sharp kind of view. And I feel like all my friends around me were kind of suffering too. So people I'd known since the age of 5, battling eating disorders, depression, anxiety, anything you could possibly name, and one of my friends had probably been through it. And so like it was just this idea of worthlessness was everywhere, and it felt like wherever I went, there was always someone who felt worthless and felt like they had no value. But I kind of kept praying, and I kept talking to people, and I kept thinking, and I kept saying to God, please, I know this can get better, I just need something to click, and for me to be able to go back to where I was. And I kind of kept praying my like little verse, all things work out for the best for those who trust in God. And it did actually start to get better. So I still now have obviously those moments of self-doubt, but like, I do kind of laugh like me again, and I reconnected with all these friends I'd lost. And I started to look forward to parties again rather than dread them. And I was once again like joking in my group, and I felt like I had this part of my group again. And that wasn't just this shell of myself. And I think, despite this year being really, really tough, it's almost like my connection with God kind of blossomed. So I kind of like, I encountered God's love more than I ever had before this year, but I hadn't really realized it. And only now looking back, I'm like, how did I not see that? Like, that was just in worship, getting kind of like chills and goosebumps when listening to a song, which I completely understand and relate to. Or if that's just being reduced to tears by the amazing love and support I get from my amazing family, which is also my grandparents are here today and they mean so much to me. And this amazing support I got from my family, who, even though my drama queen moments, would still kind of support me. And even that just is being reduced to tears, like now, it's a bit embarrassing. But it always, when I feel God's love, I feel those tears come. And or if it was just, again, I felt God's love and that kind of reiterated to me that actually I do have value because of all the love and support I got from this church as well. If that is just praying for me during my GCSEs and sharing verses to me, thank you, Rebecca. And or that's taking me out for milkshakes, waffles, or just talking to me about Marvel, Yan Yan. And if that's just never forgetting a birthday, Mark Shepherd in particular, thank you. And just that kind of love I was constantly being shown, but it never really clicked for me how through other people God's love can kind of be shined through them. And so yeah, and they were just showing me that even though like I can go through those awful moments when I do feel like I have no value, other people can show me that actually I do. And yeah. But yes, that just showed me that I wasn't alone. And looking back, I realised when I told my mum that I felt like I could feel God's love, or I knew God loved me, but that wasn't enough motivation to love myself. That was a lie, because obviously I just didn't fully understand or comprehend the might of God's love. Otherwise I would have stood strong in those values and beliefs that actually I do have value, and actually I am precious to him, and I am his child, and he loves me so much. And that actually I was seeing kind of like 0.01% of God's love and thinking that was 100%, when really I was just seeing 0.1%. I hadn't even thought about, and I still will never be able to fully comprehend how much I'm loved. And yeah. And now looking back, if I read the Bible kind of again, I see all these examples and just throughout the Bible of how much I'm loved and how that actually gives me value. So one of my favourite examples is in Genesis, and it kind of links with the idea, I feel like the one verse where I feel like even like two-year-olds who aren't Christians know is "Let there be light." I think we all know how God spoke, he used his word to create kind of nature, the sea, the sun. I don't know if that theology is right, but like that he said and it was there. But then for humans, he instead said, Panache.
Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils of the breath of life.
Thank you. So for me, it's the fact that he actually physically took the time to make us and moulded us out of dust rather than just speaking words into it. And I'd never really properly thought about that. And I read it in my daily devotions, that verse, and I was like, but he actually took the time to make us, as in he literally physically moulded us out of dust when he could have just been like, let there be humans, and we would have appeared. But he sat down, kind of like Trevor in his pottery and at the potter's wheel, and literally made us. And that, for me, is just amazing. And I remember when I read that verse, I kind of asked around at church, what does this mean? Because I didn't fully understand. Like, I kind of got it, but I couldn't formulate words. And I got some really, like, theological answers and some really well-thought-out, precise answers. But nothing really kind of... Those answers were amazing, but they didn't really click, and they weren't really kind of what I was looking for. Until I asked my 11-year-old sister what she thought of this, and she used a Harry Potter analogy, and honestly, it was one of the best answers I've ever been given. I'm going to read it to you now, because it just, for me, was amazing. And she said, Nia said, Harry Potter took the time to make Dobby's grave. If you haven't seen Harry Potter, that's a spoiler, Dobby dies. Dobby's grave, when he could have used magic. And because of the fact that he didn't use magic when he could have is this act of love. And she said it's like when you give a card to someone, that is amazing. But when someone literally makes the time to make you a handmade card, that just means so much more. And I just, for me, Nia, that really, really connected with me. The fact that he took the time to make us and literally make us out of this dust. And it's just, again, that imagery of God sitting down thinking, now I'm going to make this creation, which I'm going to love for the rest of my life and which I would 100% die for. And I just thought that just perfectly shows how God loved us even before we were born. And how, like, doesn't that just give me value? Doesn't that prove to me that I'm special? And actually, I do have meaning. And also, because I love English, I kind of sat down and analysed the verbs in the verse. And I was like, I love the word breathe, that he breathed through our nostrils the breath of life. And it's like that's gentle, gentle verb, that he literally took the time to breathe, like, that life into us. And it's just a reminder that above all, above his like omnipotence, he is our Father, and that he loves us and he cares for us, and that he wants us to know that we took the time to make him, us, not him, us. And that he doesn't want us to throw away our life wondering if we have value when he already knows that we have value because he took the time to make us. And it's just a topical example, which might not relate to some of the people here, but a child actor recently died. And he was this actor, he died at the age of 20, but he was this actor, I feel like people in my age, and maybe Maddie, Nia, maybe even Beth actually, kind of grew up watching this child actor. We literally saw him grow up, and that we also saw him die. And it's the fact that he went to bed that night thinking, tomorrow I'm going to go up, I'm going to carry on my charity I'm setting up, I'm going to see my parents, I'm going to see my best friends. But that night he just died. And it's like, imagine if he spent that last night worrying if he had value and if he saw himself in the mirror, was like, am I actually worth it? And I just feel like we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or in the next couple of seconds. I feel like God doesn't want us to worry if we have that value, if we are really worth it. And I think also, for me, when I looked at myself in the mirror and I was going through that and I was critiquing myself and insulting myself, as much as that's an insult to myself, that's an insult to God as well. I'm literally insulting his artistry, which he took so long to make, and I'm just questioning it. Like, I'm literally asking the ultimate artist and designer, why have you put that freckle on my face? And being like, that was obviously a mistake. Why would you do that? When actually, God doesn't make mistakes. And I'm just questioning, why have I got ginger hair, or why have I got this scar on my arm, when actually they're all there for a reason. And God wouldn't just put it there to annoy me. He put it there because he loves me, and there's obviously a reason for that. But yeah, I think also another example, which only now I wish I'd properly thought about when I was going through all that, was the death of Jesus. And the fact, I never really properly thought of how aware he was of the pain he was going to have to endure and suffer. And I think, yeah.
Matthew.
Oh, wait, sorry. Don't worry. I forgot to highlight that one red. Don't worry, it's okay. He says, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. And it's the fact that I never really thought about how Jesus was human and how, you know, that verse is, it's something to do with the shedding of blood. There must be the shedding of blood for forgiveness. How he literally was human. And that means he would have felt the pain that we have to feel. And like, I can't even imagine knowingly going up to sacrifice myself for a nation of people who might not even be grateful for it. But despite that, he says, yet not my will be done, but yours be done. And I just feel like due to that love, he knowingly and willingly chose to sacrifice himself and go through that pain. And then chose to die for us, which once again just shows me actually, if someone could love me so, so much that they would sacrifice their own son, and that son would willingly endure that pain, even though he knows I might not be grateful for it, just shows that I must have some kind of value and that I must kind of be worth it. And it's like the fact that he was innocent as well, it feels like that pain must have felt 10 times worse. Because I know if I'm innocent, my mum tells me off for something I haven't done. It feels so much worse when she takes my phone away. And, like, I know how it just annoys me so much more. So I can't even imagine he's sitting there, he's being crucified for something he hasn't even done. Like, I genuinely can't. But it's the fact that he would have done it for just one of us. And it's the fact that when he was dying, I just can't help but wonder if he thought about the Maddies, he thought about the Nias he was dying for, and was like, it's all going to be worth it because at the end of the day, I might see Maddie and Nia in with me in heaven. And yeah, and so now it's the Matthew verse.
Matthew 18, verse 12. If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, he will not leave 99 on the hills and look for the one that wandered off.
Yeah, so it's that idea that, once again, that idea he would have just done it for one of us. And the fact that he did it for billions of people is obviously, like, a great consequence, but it's the fact that he would have done it for just one of us. And that love must be so powerful. I just wish I'd thought about that before. And so I hope now people might think about it more when they start to look at themselves in the mirror and think, oh, I'm ugly, when really you can't be, because if you were that ugly, Jesus wouldn't have died for you. And it's also the fact that I told you how I felt like I didn't have a purpose, I didn't know what my meaning was, I was like, why am I here, am I a mistake, is there any point in me actually being here? And it's the fact that the Acts verse...
There is also the story of the...
It's the next one.
He marked out their appointment times in the history of the boundaries of their land, Acts 17, verse 26.
Yeah. So it's that idea that there's no such things as mistakes, because he's appointed out our times. He knows exactly when we are meant to exist and when we were meant to die. And it's the idea that on the 27th of May, 2003, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he was like, this is the time that Anyaville Joan is going to be born, and she is going to have this effect on this person, and she doesn't even know it yet. But I've already marked it out in my book, and I know exactly what she's going to do. And that just, for me, is like, wow. Like, I genuinely have someone who knows exactly what I'm doing, and when I feel like I've got no direction, I can just kind of turn that around and be like, actually, there's a reason why I'm here. And that gives me value, because I'm God's first choice for my purpose. And that feeling of being second choice is irrelevant, because I'm actually the first choice of what I have to do. And yeah, and it's that idea that even if, like, you're 80 or 85 or 90 and you feel like you haven't accomplished this idea of purpose, that actually God's so amazing, he could literally... like the next day, put that little thing into place which guides you to do your purpose. And I feel like sometimes, I don't know, because obviously I'm not that age, but if you reach that kind of 78 and onwards, you feel like, have I done what God wants me to achieve? And I feel like if you feel like you haven't, then I might just ask him. Just ask him and then go do it. And then don't think about all the other little things, the consequences, what could happen, and it's like, actually just do it, because you have value, there's a reason why you've been put here, and like, God wants you to achieve that reason, so you feel like you've done something good. And yeah, and then there's also this idea that I think it's for John verse, if you want to.
We love because he loved us first.
Yeah. So, for me, I obviously didn't understand, I couldn't understand the we love because he loved us first. I couldn't understand that first part of the verse because I didn't fully understand that he loved us first. Like, I thought I understood, but I was only seeing that 0.01%. So I was never be able to fully grasp and comprehend that idea of we love because I just didn't understand the second part. I feel like looking back, like I said, all this like, overwhelming amount of evidence in the Bible, which I just overlooked. And I've just been like, yeah, God loves me, whatever. That doesn't really mean anything for my life today. When actually it means so, so much. And I just really want to encourage to you all to think more carefully about the second part of that verse, because he loved us first. And again, that imagery at the potter's wheel, that he's literally forming me. And he knew he would love me before he'd even made me. Because he already knew me. He already knew all of you. He was always like, I'm going to create this person to come at that time of their life, and they're going to make a difference, even if it's just that one person on the street. And I feel like once, going back to the triangle, once you fully understand that he loves you so, so much, can you then understand the second bit, that you should love yourself? And then and only then can you go on and preach the gospel and share Jesus' love, because you can't share something you don't already have. You can't share love if you don't even know it yourself. And I feel like that is... I feel like you could ask anyone. Like, I know I did the pre-GCC. The one quote everyone knows is love thy neighbour. Everyone knows that verse. And that's because I feel like as a Christian, that's what we're really meant to do. But we can't accomplish that before we love ourselves and understand how much God loves us. So now I'm going to show you a video from arguably the best Disney movie ever. And... it's coming out next week, live action. So yeah, so you'd be surprised how many profound messages there are in Disney films. But for me, what stood out for me about that was the fact that he said, remember that you are the one true king. And I feel like we all forget that actually when we go to heaven, that we are princesses and princes in heaven, that we are God's children, and we forget. And when we forget that, we kind of degrade ourselves and just bring ourselves down to nothing, when actually we're so, so much more, and we forget who we really are, and that's children of God. And when he says, go back and face your past, I feel like maybe there's people in here who have felt like this, that they are worthless and they don't mean anything, and they've just kind of left it behind, they've never really faced it. I just want to encourage you to do, you have to face it, because the more you put it away, the more it comes back. And like I said, I feel like feeling like you are worthless is something that doesn't, you can't define an age to it. Like I said, teenagers do tend to feel it really strongly, but that doesn't mean that children at the age of 5 wish that they could be Cinderella when they're not, or people at the age of 75 feeling like they have no more place in this world. I just want to encourage people to pick up and talk to God and be like, oh, what am I meant to be here for? Do I actually have any value? And I can 100% assure you, he'll say, you do. So I would like everyone to go into the next week, hopefully having their minds kind of renewed, and they can start to attempt to fully grasp how much God loves you and start to see his 100% and not 0.01%. I just wanted to finish with Ephesians 3.
And I pray that you, being rooted and established in my love, and may have power together that with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love is that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of the fullness of God. Ephesians 3, verse 17 to 19.